Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
And it's John Cook with you this evening. New EU rules come into effect requiring websites, apps and devices like smartphones to be accessible for people with disabilities and for anyone who has trouble using them. It's all coming into effect from tomorrow, and Dermot McGurr is a partner at the law firm Mason, Hayes & Curran. He's been looking into these new laws for months. Thanks for joining me on the programme this evening, Dermot. Will you tell us about this act and what it's actually aiming to do?
Yeah, sure. So the European Accessibility Act, or the EAA, it's a new accessibility law, which, as you say, aims to help people with disabilities use many common products and services, or at least reduce the barriers to that. So it applies to a specific list of products and a specific list of services. And that's an important point to understand, that it's not a general accessibility standard that applies to everything. So some of the in-scope products are things you mentioned there, you know, computers, smartphones, tablets, ATMs, things like that. So a lot of modern technology, really. And then services-wise, you're talking about things like banking services, transport services, email, e-commerce, things like that. And then the way the law works is that there are general requirements which apply to all products, there are general requirements which apply to all services, and then there are specific products that are specific requirements at a product or service level. Now, those requirements are quite technical in places and are quite... can be quite principle-based, so it's probably helpful just to give you a couple of examples of the types of outputs of these requirements.
Yes,
which,
please.
Which can be. So if you think of example, or for example, of a device which relies on written text to convey information, so that device needs to make sure that information is available in another sensory channel. So to put that simply, it means somebody can listen to it as well as read it. Another good example is if your device has touchscreens, then one of the examples which is talked about in the legislation is making sure that the buttons are sufficiently large and well separated so that they're easy to use and they don't require excessive force in order to use them. And then on the services side, the big focus is really the websites. I mean, there are other requirements, but the websites is the big focus. So if you think about that from the perspective of a blind user, so a lot of blind users will use things called screen readers, which are, you know, a sort of tool people use.
Yes.
So you need to make sure that your website is compatible with screen readers, which isn't always the case.
Okay. And I'm thinking when you mention, let's make smartphones, let's make technology and websites a bit more accessible for us all, we're probably all nodding and thinking, well, I struggle with it a bit. But in the case of people with disabilities, as you mentioned, some people might feel totally cut off or locked out of some of these products and services.
Yeah. And that's the issue. It's to sort of remove those barriers. That's a sort of overarching theme here, definitely.
So are products and services that we refer to there, are they ready for this? Do they have to adapt to this? And will we see immediate changes?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's important to understand the context. So we've had the EU directive on this since 2019. So that's got to 6 years ago. That lead-in time was intentional. I think in terms of how ready businesses are for it, I think you need to split out the products and services. I think on the product side, my experience is that they've been working on this, you know, for a long time. They've been aware of the EEA. It takes a surprisingly long time to make these types of design changes we're talking about. So I think the product side of things, they're in a good place from a compliance perspective. I have heard some sort of horror stories if you have manufacturers mainly based outside of the EU who weren't aware of this until relatively recently, but that's quite rare, actually. I think on the services side, it's definitely going to be more of a mixed bag. So I think where you're a service provider in, like, you know, the banking space or the transport space, which is clearly in scope of this, I think those types of businesses have been well aware of this, have been doing some really good work on it for quite a long time and will be in a good place for it. I think where you're going to see pockets and potentially quite large pockets of non-compliance is the e-commerce element. And the reason for that is because e-commerce is defined quite broadly in the legislation. So it's not just things like, you know, Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. It's essentially if you're selling goods or services online, you're in scope of this as long as you're not what's referred to as a micro enterprise, and that's quite a low bar.
And who'll
so
check
if you're
on
over that threshold?
Sorry, Dermot. Who'll check on this? Who'll make sure? Who's ensuring compliance, or is there anybody checking?
Yeah, no, there are. There are several regulators, mm-hmm. actually. So there isn't a single regulator. There's no new regulator for this. But for all the products, it's the CCPC, which is the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. And then on services, it splits down depending on the nature of the service. So for e-commerce, it's actually the CCPC. It's the Central Bank for banking services. It's the National Transport Authority for certain transport. It's the Aviation Authority for aviation transport.
We'll be interested to see how this progresses. Thank you for joining me. Dermot McGurr, partner at Mason Hayes and Curran Law Firm. Up next, anyone for a sweet sandwich?